Good morning and welcome once again to our Sunday morning service at Heritage Baptist Church. Still meeting in remote locations and coming to you by way of technology, for which we're very thankful for the opportunity to do that. This morning, since it is Easter Sunday, we wanted to take a little break from the series that we have been doing, dealing with thriving in stressful times. I want to bring a message predominantly along the line of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Today, there are preserved for public viewing the bodies of certain leaders who have been loved and revered by their citizens. For example, you can travel to Moscow, Russia. You can view the body there of Vladimir Lenin. His preserved body since 1924 has been on display in his mausoleum in Moscow's Red Square. Or you can travel to Hanoi in Vietnam and view the body of Ho Chi Minh. His preserved body since 1975 has been on display in his massive mausoleum in Ba Ding Square. You can also travel to Beijing, China, of course. View the body of Mao Zedong, and there his preserved body since 1977 has been on display in his mausoleum located on the south end of Tiananmen Square. You can go to Pyongyang in North Korea. You can view the bodies of Kim Jong-il and Kim Il-sung. Their preserved bodies since their deaths in 1994 and in 2011, respectively, have been on display in two rooms in the Kum Susan Memorial Palace. It's been said that each of these places are visited with a sense of respect, with a sense of reverence. But today we are called to remember a time some 2,000 years ago when some women came to visit the tomb of the Lord Jesus Christ. They came, as you know, from Luke chapter 24, verse 1, they came to do him the honor of a proper burial. But the Bible says that when they came to that tomb where they had seen his body placed just 3 nights and 3 days before, the Bible says in the Gospel of Luke chapter 24, we'll begin reading in verse number 2, that they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they, that is the angels, said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? And then came that wonderful announcement. It's an announcement that is found in each of these synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. We find recorded in each of those gospels how that the angel then told those dear women, for example, Matthew 28, verse 6, he is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Mark chapter 16, verse 6, he is risen, he is not here. And Luke chapter 24, verse 6, he is not here, but is risen. As we consider that wonderful message on this Easter Sunday morning, 3 points that I would like for us to consider together for the next few minutes. As we consider these announcements that were given, I want you to notice, first of all, number one, the comfort of it. The comfort of it. In Matthew chapter 28, verse number 5, the Bible says, the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. There's great comfort in that command, fear not. Great comfort is found there. It was comforting because of all the things that were included in that command. Notice three things. To fear not simply mean, letter A, it means to be calm. It means to be calm. Those women had, they'd just gone through some days of terrible pain. They had heard the news how their Lord had been betrayed. They heard the news how their Lord had been arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. They heard the news how that he has been brought before first the Jewish council and then before the Roman leaders. And the thing is now he has been sentenced to die. And then they had joined the crowd. They joined with the crowd that followed the Lord Jesus from the palace to the place of execution. In fact, the Bible tells us in Luke 23 and verse 27 that there followed him as he was making his way to the place of execution. There followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. When they came outside the city of Jerusalem and came to that place called Golgotha. Golgotha, of course, you know, is a Hebrew word, the Bible tells us, which actually has been interpreted a place of a skull. And this was the place where the Romans would execute those who had been condemned to death. And so they come to this place outside the city of Jerusalem, this place called Golgotha. And the Bible declares in Matthew chapter 27, verse 55, many women were there, beholding afar off. Certainly their hearts were broken as they watched their Lord and Master nailed to that Roman cross. Their hearts must have been filled with pain and agony as they saw him lifted up, suspended between heaven and earth, rejected by God and rejected by men, hanging there in agony and in shame. Now their anxiety, their fear came rushing again to the surface as they approached the tomb that early morning. But their fear was banished by the simple command, fear not. Fear not, because their Lord had risen from the dead. You know, the same thing is true for us today. Some years ago, Bill and Gloria Gaither, they wrote a song entitled Because He Lives. In fact, that's where I borrowed the title for this message. But the chorus of that song goes like this. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. You see, we can experience calm, and we can experience peace through any situation and through every circumstance that we face in life. Why? Because we serve a risen Savior. Because of the resurrection, we can have calm in the midst of all kinds of trouble. Because the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead proves that our God is sovereign, you see. Our God is in absolute control. And if He can deliver His Son from the power of death and the prison of the grave, then there is absolutely nothing that our God cannot do. And a God who is that powerful, a God who is that powerful, most certainly knows how to give peace to us, His children, those who have been born again through faith in Jesus Christ, in spite of the circumstances that they may be facing in their life. That's why the Apostle Paul said this, Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. He says, "The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." There's a calm. There's a calm in the fear not. But not only that, the command fear not, it also means, letter B, to be courageous. To be courageous. As one writer has noted, the resurrection of Jesus Christ should instill courage in our hearts because death was defeated for all who believe in Him. You see, as a child of God, death is no longer an enemy. It's no longer an enemy. In fact, for the child of God, death is a friend. Now, that sounds very weird. It sounds very strange. But the Apostle Paul explains it for us. Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, he makes the statement, "For me to live is Christ. To die is gain." Living for Christ in this world, that's a wonderful thing. But to die, that's even better. And he explains it. 2 Corinthians 5:8. "We're confident, I say, and willing rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." If you've never done so, I would encourage you to take the time. Read Fox's Book of Martyrs. Read the testimonies of those heroic men and women and young people. Men and women who were more willing to die than to deny their faith in Jesus Christ. And what was it that gave them such courage when facing certain death? It was simply the fact that they understood, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Why? Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The fear not. It instructed them to be calm. It instructed them to be courageous. But then let her see, it also instructed them to be confident. To be confident. You remember the Lord Jesus. He told His disciples back in Luke chapter 24, verse 47. He told His disciples one day that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified. But wait a minute, He didn't stop there. And the third day, rise again. And later on, of course, the disciples saw that it all came to pass exactly as the Lord Jesus had said that it would. In fact, the angel declared it. In Matthew 28, verse number 6, read it with me again. He is not here, for He is risen. Notice those next three words. As He said. Risen, as He said. Bottom line, our hearts should be filled with confidence because our Savior, oh, this is a wonderful truth, our Savior always keeps His word. He will never fail to do a single thing that He has promised that He will do. In fact, I think one writer said it very well when he said, every promise Jesus Christ has made is a promise He can and He will keep. And the promise that He has given to all of those who put their faith and trust in Him, the wonderful promise that He has given to us, it's stated in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and verse number 5, where the Apostle Peter wrote, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a," notice it, "a lively hope." How? By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Verse number 4. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. What wonderful promises we have. And all of them, the certainty of those promises is found in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There's comfort of the resurrection. But then I want you to notice number 2, the challenge of it. The challenge is clearly seen when we look at Matthew chapter 28, verse number 6. Whereas those women came to the grave, the Lord Jesus, or the angels rather, said to them, "Come, see the place." Now this is the challenge. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. In other words, this was an invitation to examine the claim. To examine the claim that Jesus Christ had in fact risen from the dead. Now inside the tomb, according to John chapter 20, verse 7, the burial shroud was still there. We also find that inside that tomb, the cloth that had covered the head, that was still there. But the body of the Lord Jesus, it was no longer there. It was gone. And those women were invited to enter the tomb in order that they might see for themselves that the Lord Jesus Christ had done exactly what He promised that He would do. That certainly agrees with the testimony of the apostles in Acts chapter 1, verse number 3. The Bible says concerning the apostles, to whom also He showed Himself alive after His passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Notice there the word infallible proofs. Infallible simply means that these proofs that the Lord Jesus gave to His apostles, to His followers, these proofs of the resurrection that were shown to them, these were proofs that we might say they were watertight. They are trustworthy. They are absolutely undeniable. Perhaps you have read about Sir Lionel Lucko. He's considered to be one of the greatest lawyers in British history. In fact, he was knighted by the Queen of England 2 times. And the Guinness Book of World Records has listed him as being the world's most successful advocate because of the fact that he had 245 consecutive murder acquittals. And yet, in spite of all of his fame and all of his success and wealth, Lucko felt empty inside. He felt empty inside, and so therefore he turned his analytical skills to examining the different religions of the world. He looked at them all. He studied them all. But he found nothing in any of them that satisfied his soul. But after an examination of the claims of Jesus Christ, at the age of 64, on the seventh day of November in 1978, Sir Lionel Lucko accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior. And as a result of that newfound faith in Jesus Christ, he wrote a book entitled, The Question Answered, Did Jesus Rise from the Dead? In that little booklet, Lucko made the statement. Here's what he said. He said, I have spent more than 42 years as a defense trial lawyer. And I say unequivocally, the evidence for the resurrection of Jesus Christ is so overwhelming that it compels acceptance by proof, which leaves absolutely no room for doubt. What a statement. By the way, what the resurrected Christ did for him, he can do for you as well. The Apostle Paul declared concerning the Lord Jesus that he is the one, Romans chapter 4, verse 25, he is the one who was delivered for our offenses. In other words, he's the one who suffered and died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sin and was then raised again for our justification. And so therefore the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The comfort of the resurrection, the challenge of the resurrection. But then I want you to notice last of all, the command of the resurrection. The command of it. In Matthew chapter 28, verse number 7, the angels told the women, go quickly and tell. They have just seen the grave is empty. They have just seen that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. And now comes the command. Go quickly. Don't delay. Don't let anything hinder. Go quickly and tell. I want you to notice 2 things. The angel commanded, first of all, that the good news of the Savior's resurrection from the dead might be given, letter A, to his disciples. That it might be given to his disciples. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 7, go quickly and tell his disciples that he's risen from the dead. That was the command that was given. But that was not the end of it. That was not the end of it. Just a few days later, the Lord Jesus himself is going to meet with his disciples. And just before he ascends back up into heaven, he's going to give them a command that the good news of his resurrection from the dead is not to be just kept for themselves, but that wonderful good news of the resurrected Savior, it's to be carried, letter B, to his world. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20. A passage that many times we use during our missions conference month and during special emphasis times when we think about the command that God has given to us as a local church, a responsibility that still carries on today. And here it is, the Great Commission. Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20, go ye therefore. Why? Well, because I've died for you. And I've been risen from, been raised from the dead. And now here's what I want you to do. I want you to go, therefore, based on that, I want you to teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I, that is the resurrected Christ, through the person of His Holy Spirit, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Folks, there's a reason why we need to be faithfully fulfilling this command. As we consider this Easter Sunday and all that it means to us as believers in Jesus Christ, and because of the wonderful hope that we have, because of the fact that we do not serve a God that is dead and buried somewhere. We don't make a pilgrimage to a grave to visit the remains of a departed religious teacher. Rather, we serve a living Savior. We serve a living Savior. And we're to be faithfully spreading the life-giving message that He brings for three reasons. First of all, because people are dying. People are dying. It is said that two people, every second of every day, depart from this life and go out into eternity. And the tragic truth is that most of them, the great majority of them, when they leave this life, they're not ready to meet God. They are not ready to go to heaven. Rather, they are headed to a place where there is no hope. They're headed to a place where they will be forever without God and without hope. People are dying. Not only do we need to be zealously fulfilling the Great Commission to go quickly and to tell the world, but not only because people are dying, but because people are deceived. They're worshiping gods that really do not exist. They worship gods that have been created by the hands of men. And they're following creeds that have been invented in the minds of men. And none of those things have any power to deliver a man from his sin, to give him the hope and the assurance of life eternal. Only the resurrected Christ can do that. And so we're commanded to go into all His world and to carry this message because people are dying, because people are deceived. And then number three, because people are despondent. People are despondent. The disciples were certainly despondent. After the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus, we find that those 12 disciples were actually hiding in the upper room behind locked doors, filled with fear, filled with disappointment. The one that they had trusted in to be their Messiah, now He's been crucified and buried, and their hearts are filled with despair. But not only were the disciples despondent, the unsaved, even today, are despondent as they face the fears of this life, the troubles of this life, the uncertainties of this life, without any assurance of eternal life through faith in the resurrected Christ. The message of Easter is simply that God so loved us that He gave His only Son to die for us. But it doesn't end there. Because if all Jesus did was die, then He was just a martyr for a noble cause. But the Bible teaches, and history has proven, that He arose again from the dead. He arose in victory. He arose in power. He arose in from that grave in order that He might be our Savior. He might be our Lord. So my question for you this morning is simply this. Do you know that resurrected Christ? I'm not asking, do you know about Him? Many people know about Him. But knowing about Him is not enough. There must be a personal relationship with Him. And the only way that we can have a personal relationship with Him is by, first of all, acknowledging our sinful condition. Acknowledging the fact that that we are sinners, that we have broken God's laws and we have offended God's holiness. And acknowledging not only are we sinners, but acknowledging that there is absolutely nothing that we can do in our own strength and in our own power to have a relationship with God. Many people have the idea that if I do so many good works, then I will be okay. And yet the Bible declares that all of our righteousnesses are like a filthy rag in the sight of a holy God. We have to acknowledge that we're sinners. We have to acknowledge that there's nothing that we can do to save ourselves. And then we need to humble ourselves and ask Him who died for us. Ask Him who arose again from the dead, that He might forgive us and that He might cleanse us, in order that we might claim the wonderful promise found in John chapter 1 and verse 12, where it says that as many as receive Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. If you've never done that, if you've never trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior, my prayer for you is that even on this Easter Sunday morning, as we think about the gospel and all that it entails, not just the death of Christ, but the wonderful truth of the resurrection, our prayer is that even today, that you might put your faith and trust in Him. I hope that you'll write to us through our church website email. Let us know. Let us know of your concern, of your desire. We'd love to reach out to you and try to help you in any way that we can. As believers, oh, how our hearts ought to be encouraged. We do live in some frightening times, frightening circumstances going on all around us. And yet we can have confidence. We have confidence because we serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever men may say. I see His hand of mercy. I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always near. You know why? Because He lives. And you ask me how I know He lives? Here's the reason. Because He lives in my heart. I hope you can say the same thing. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning.